Welcome to the Gridiron Breakdown Offseason Edition.
We live in a different world than we did just 30 seconds ago.
Our hosts will talk about how your favorite team is retooling as we discuss the top college football news, free agent signings, and NFL draft stories.
I don't care about
that. Yeah, you do. You and I both know it.
Chat with the host if you're watching on Facebook Live. Facebook.com/TheGridironBreakdown.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
And now, let's get to the breakdown.
It's time for the Gridiron Breakdown. I'm Jay.
I'm Alan.
And it's old school breakdown tonight as Lindsay and Brian are on vacation enjoying the fun. But we are going to be here to talk about the big news. Texas and Oklahoma are going to join the SEC. We'll get into all of that tonight, but I want to let y'all know if you're watching us live on Facebook, thanks for checking it out. Chat us up. We can see that here on StreamYard. We'd be glad to interact with y'all as we get into all of this stuff tonight and talk about the, you know, the wooing of these two teams and how that went down or how we think it went down based on what we know so far. And also, you know, what do we like? What do we worried about, all that good stuff. Because, I mean, we're about 5 weeks from the season starting, so we're in good preseason mode. I mean, as Spurrier used to call it, man, it's talking season for sure. And we were thinking about, like, let's do a couple shows, you know, before we get into our preview shows again. Going to have a couple guests on. But when this news started to break last week, you and I were like, no, we got to get on and talk about this, man.
Well, I mean, it happened so fast. It's like, there was just the rumor of it, and then it's like, boom, it's done. And how these guys kept this under wraps for 6 months without anybody saying a word is just, I don't know. Nobody in the government could keep a secret like this. The CIA couldn't have kept this a secret.
Yeah, especially Texas. Like, they are notorious for blowing this. I've heard more reporters talk to Texas coverage people and go, how did y'all not talk about this? It's kind of your brand to always, you know, spill the beans and the secret. But, man, you talk about keeping the lid on it. And let's just go ahead and say, you know, the official word is today, you know, we're doing this on Thursday, July the 29th. The SEC presidents, the existing presidents, 14 schools met today, as they do every other Thursday, and they had their vote, and it was unanimous. As if they, I mean, I asked you offline, was that kind of like that meeting in The Godfather when they were sort of settling the no more war, we're not going to kill each other anymore thing before Michael took over?
Well, you know, I think if anybody had any objections, they was met with, sit down, shut up, here's your check.
Exactly, yeah. And let's talk about those checks, man, because when Texas and Oklahoma join in, what you told me this, and it blew my mind, dude. Like, what's the cut going to be per team?
Well, so they said that it would increase each team's cut by 20 to 30 million. So you're talking about each team getting $76 million from the conference, which comes out to a total of $1.2 billion. Jay, there are only 135 companies in the United States who make up over $1 billion in profit each year.
Wow. That blows my mind, dude. Like,
the SEC will bring in more revenue than the NCAA will.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're more important than the NCAA at this point, so... man, that is wild. It looks like Chip has joined us in the chat and he's kind of blown away by that too. So yeah, that figure, I knew it was going to go up, man, but I didn't realize it could go up like that. That is astounding. So well, go ahead.
I mean, let's be honest. This was all about the money and absolutely nothing else.
I think it's about more than money. I agree. Yes, it is partially about money, but I think there's something else at play here too. We'll get into that though. Go ahead and tell me your thought.
I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of these schools don't need the money, but I think there's a consolidation of power. And, you know, for years, everybody wanted to have their own brand, their own this and their own that. And let's be honest, most other conferences loathe the SEC. They think that we're obnoxious, that we are just awful. And for the most part, they are correct. I have been to Athens, Georgia. I can vouch for how horrible the people in this conference are.
Yes, I've been around Florida fans, yes.
So. Yeah, don't get us started on Baton Rouge. But I mean, I think they all saw, hey, we can come together. We can create the first super conference. We can make a whole bunch of money in the process. And if they're going to go ahead and expand the playoffs, there's no downside to it. Because now a two-loss team from the SEC probably would get in.
Oh, dude, like the joke was, and I saw this on Twitter, and I wish I remembered who put it out there. I would give them credit, but it was a great joke. It said, Coastal Carolina and Cincinnati were such great stories for the college football last year. Let's create a conference so good that the SEC gets six teams in the playoffs now. You know, and I'm like, well, that's pretty much it. But you mentioned the word that I think is also right there with it. It's about power, all right? And it's about taking control of look. The SEC is the dominant conference in college football. It's not the only one. Clearly, the Big Ten does great stuff. The ACC's head champions. Big 12 has been a minute. The Pac-12 is – I don't know that the Pac-12 even cares, but they kind of have to act like they do. And then you got the G5 schools and all their conferences. The SEC has dominated college football for a long time, and this is ensuring that not only does that remain, but they're now starting to rake in the other powers that be. You know, and I've seen a lot of talk about people saying, like, look, this is going to result in a huge conference or whatever. And I think that may be where we're headed. I don't think this is the last move of, obviously, reconsolidation. There's going to be a lot of other moves going on. But as far as just this, these two schools joining the SEC, what do you like? What do you not like about Texas, Oklahoma? And then how do you think they fit or they don't fit?
Well, I mean, I think you get two national brands that have had success through the decades. I mean, like everything else, it comes and goes. I mean, Oklahoma has been really good for the last 20 years. Texas, they were good about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but they've kind of up and down, ridden the wave. But I think you bring in quality opponents that have national brand, national recognition. You just add more blue blood. You add more history to the conference. The thing I don't like is I do kind of like the conference rivalries. I mean, it's always fun to go to the bowl game and, you know, chant SEC after we beat the crap out of somebody. That's fun. It just means more money. But
yes, Brett McMurphy made that point today, and it's an excellent point.
I mean, you know, I've made a point of trying to visit all the SEC stadiums, so I got to add, you know, Norman, which I hear is like Satan's armpit in September. And I'm sure Austin's probably not much better. Austin's, I think Ed Orgeron can talk to how they don't have air conditioning in the visitors' locker room.
Those would definitely be like later fall trips if you were going to make that happen. Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, while it's not my cup of tea, I see why they did it. And I think it does overall improve the conference. I mean, Jay, you would have to go dig in the archives. But I think at one point in time early on, we had a talk about creating four 16-team super conferences that had their own autonomy, that they all separated. And they kind of did their own thing. This was pre-playoff talk before anybody even dreamt of a playoff.
Yeah, this is back in like the Blog Talk Radio days of the show, man. So yeah, we were dreaming that up in the early 2000s, and talking through that. I agree. I agree with what Chips put here in the chat too. It's quality of play. It's a challenge. I think it is going to increase that. I'll also say, and Neil McCready made this point today over on Oxford Exxon, which I thought was an interesting one. He said, if I'm the also rans in the league here, I better start getting my stuff together because I may not be here much longer. The SEC may you know, tell Vanderbilt and Missouri, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, hey guys, thanks for the memories, but we're gonna join in with Clemson and Ohio State and, you know, a couple of others, and this is gonna be how it is, you know, and move forward. I think we're a long way from something like that happening, but just in the immediate, I like both of the brands adding in two. I remember Auburn used to play Texas like on a rotating basis, and it was always frustrating because we never seemed to be able to beat them. That was back in the 80s when they were just great. And then I think we only played Oklahoma maybe once or twice. And so, and I know you've had your tail of the Sooners a few times in the playoffs and in Sugar Bowls where you didn't care and stuff as a Bama fan. But I like both of those. Moves in. I like both of these programs because as down as Texas has been, and you're right, it's been 15, 20 years before they've really put anything together that was good. I think the move they made with Sarkisian and that staff he's got is a move in the right direction. And I think Lincoln Riley is one of the top five coaches in the country. and he's a quarterback whisperer. What I'm curious about is especially Oklahoma, because Texas has played some defense, you know, throughout their history, and even in their, you know, wilder Vince Young offensive days, they had a pretty decent defense. Oklahoma is still trying to solve that riddle, and they got Alex Grinch, a great DC there, but they're known for throwing points up on the board, man. How's that going to fly in the SEC, even the new SEC, where that has become more in vogue the last couple of years?
I mean, I think it will fly. I mean, let's be honest. Alabama the past couple of years has not played very much defense, but they have played a ton of offense. I mean, last year the defense was a little better, but 2 years ago the defense was awful. I also think this is going to help their recruiting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they recruited a national level and they got plenty of 4- and 5-star guys, but I think moving to the SEC, because let's be honest, you look at the, I don't remember the exact numbers, but like the SEC had like 150 draft picks last year and the Big 12 had like 20, and most of them were from Oklahoma and Texas. So kids now know, hey, I can go to Oklahoma and play defense, and I could probably get to the league that way. Whereas right now, that's it's more of how people view Oklahoma on defense right now, that they don't get that respect. Whereas if you're a defensive lineman at Alabama, you're probably going to get drafted just because you played defensive line at Alabama. And I think, you know, you mentioned this, Jay, that, you know, Texas had been losing recruiting battles to A&M and LSU mainly because kids could go play in the SEC in the same geographic area.
And they were playing better competition week in and week out, even with some of the teams in the SEC that aren't as good. When you take Oklahoma and Texas out, and Iowa State is kind of the, you know, sort of the nouveau part of being good in the Big 12, the rest of the Big 12 is kind of meh to bad. I mean, Texas Tech and Kansas are about as bad of football programs as are still running in major college football right now. Texas Tech hasn't had a winning season in almost 10 years. Even in factoring in losing bowl games is 6-6. Kansas has been so awful that and so poorly run that they've run themselves completely in the ground, and not that they really cared about football much to begin with, but they're terrible. Kansas State's always kind of that plucky team that sort of screws up somebody's day on a Saturday, but it never amounts to anything.
Kansas State is Mississippi State.
They are, yes. And they played each other a couple years ago.
That was great.
It's a great, it's like a mirror, you know? But you look at those teams and like Oklahoma State's had moments. I mean, they got pretty close to a championship run 8 or 9 years ago now and couldn't, you know, finish it off with a 40-year-old quarterback. But I mean, Gundy's is a good coach. He's done well. Baylor's had their moments. They've also had some incredibly awful things go on there. So they're kind of like LSU in some ways, but they haven't had the success. And I mean, really, you look at the rest of that league, man, especially after Colorado and Nebraska left, after Missouri and Texas A&M left, and Mizzou was pretty good in the Big 12, and they came in the SEC. I know they hadn't been great for a bit. They did win the East twice in a row, and that, you know, Drinkwitz has got something going on out there. They're not a joke anymore. If you're a high caliber recruit, the thing you need most is tape of you playing top competition. Because what do we hear all the time about guys like Ed Oliver at Houston from a few years ago? Remember, the only tape they showed to him was when Houston played Oklahoma and they beat him. Because nobody cares that they beat up on SMU or Tulsa or whatever. And if you're a 4-star corner in Texas, you're a lot better off at Arkansas or LSU or A&M than you are where at Texas and Oklahoma right now, because you're going to play better competition 8 out of the 12 games of the year versus maybe 3 weeks of the year in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a great point with that. The level of competition is just better, because when A&M and Missouri left, those were kind of the mid-level teams. Mm-hmm. They were that second tier. And when they left, it's like you had this gap. Because, I mean, Mizzou was always good for 8 or 9 wins. They were always, you know, pretty solid every now and then. They would get Chase Daniels and throw up a 10 or 11 win season. You know, they had success.
Yeah.
And I think it changes some of the recruiting that'll happen. There are some guys that, you know, Alabama or Georgia may not get out of Texas now because, hey, you can go play in Austin and you can have an NIL deal for the Austin Ford dealership and, you know, whatever the case may be. I think it's fun because it does create new rivalries. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to get to see Arkansas play Texas every year now. I know that's old school, and Arkansas hadn't been good for a while, but Sam Pittman, he had him playing good football last year for what he had.
Yeah, he did. And look, before he melted down on a motorcycle, Bobby Petrino had a good thing going on in Arkansas too, man. They were slinging up points like they were a Big 12 team, you know. And, yeah, we get that every year now. We do get Texas A&M Texas again, which I'm not going to lie. I hated the fact that those two were purse swinging at each other and couldn't bury the hatchet enough, because that's a good rivalry. It's one where there's clearly a dominant presence in the room, and they've let themselves be known as the dominant presence. But A&M snaked them several times. And look, Jimbo's got a good team going on down there now. That's not going to be as easy an out as it was maybe 10 years ago. So I'm glad we get that one back. And as far as, you know, how they're all going to work out, we're going to talk about how the conference gets reorganized here in a little bit. But I want to talk about a couple other things. Like our old buddy Steve Spurrier, like the golden treasure that he is, put out a quote today that was like, well, you know, I get it, but, you know, it wasn't like Texas was winning the Big 12 anyway, and so I don't think they're really going to do much in the SEC, and Oklahoma's sure not going to be able to win it, you know, dominate it the way that they have. And if you just think of it as good old hating on Spurrier, it sounds funny, but he's making points there that, like, hey, those two teams, particularly Oklahoma, until Matt Campbell at Iowa State got his stuff together, man, they really had a cakewalk for years through that conference, you know. I mean, and you talk about Bob Stoops, man, you know, yeah, he only won one national championship and got him in another, but every year they were in the mix for the BCS title game, and then even since with the playoffs, and Lincoln Riley's carried that on. They've had a better path, or a simpler path. It would be like if Clemson joined the SEC next. You know, they walk through the ACC like it ain't even there most of the time, and it's a different game over in the SEC.
Well, and I think that's going to be an adjustment period for both those teams, because let's be honest, in the SEC, you really do have to come play most weeks, because the competition is just better. You're not playing Texas Tech and Kansas and Baylor. And I know some of those teams have had different runs, but it's like everybody in the SEC has talent. And if you don't come to play, Nick Saban will tell you, if you don't respect your opponent, you will lose.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know how hard it is to be undefeated in this league, right? Let's think about it. Like, we've had three undefeated teams win it in the last 15 years, Auburn and Alabama twice. Everybody else that's won the league has done it with a loss on the schedule.
Well, I mean, because it's just so incredibly difficult week in and week out. It's a grind. And that's what we always complained about, you know, going into the playoffs. It's like, well, that's great. Oklahoma hadn't played anybody. They played Texas and, you know, that was it. I think they're going to have to, because here's the thing. Texas and Oklahoma have both been guilty of not showing up to play and either losing to a team they had no business losing to, or squeaking out a game against Kansas that it's like, oh, my word. I mean, you know, we saw a couple of years ago, Georgia, you know, had a great team, and they lost to South Carolina. Not saying South – that was a bad South Carolina team.
That was. Saved Muschamp's job, amazingly, but for a year. But, yes.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting, because those teams are going to have to make an adjustment from a psychological standpoint to – hey, you got to respect everybody in this league, and you better come ready to play, or they're going to eat your lunch.
The other thing they're going to have to do, and to go to something that Muschamp has talked about a lot, the difference between, because he's coached in the Big 12 and the SEC, he says the difference is every SEC team is deep with big, strong linemen. The trenches are the difference, particularly the defensive line. Both of those teams, Texas and Oklahoma, are going to have to strengthen their defensive lines. Now, they've had offensive linemen that are NFL ready, and they can make that work, but they got to get that defensive line recruiting up, or else, man, it's going to be a long day. Because look, when LSU has got like eight guys, just they all roll there, they're all from the same place, Algiers or someplace you ain't never heard of in Louisiana, and they all come in, they look the same, and they're 300 pounds, and they run 4.5s, and there's just these huge monsters coming at you, and they never stop. You got to be ready for that, and especially with teams that build themselves around offense. And you got to expect that Texas is doing that with the way Sarkisian runs things. We know Riley does at Oklahoma. You better get that defensive line up before you get anything else up. And then you know, we talked about it, man. You better, your DBs better pack a lunch, because even like bad teams in this league have great receivers. Like Arkansas and Mississippi State have incredible guys that are going to get drafted next year.
Well, I mean, think about some of the receivers Kentucky's had over the past couple of years. They've had really quality receivers. Mm-hmm. And they haven't been a particularly great passing team, but they had guys who could beat you. I like your point about having to strengthen the defensive line, because everybody in this league has a pretty good offensive line. Mm-hmm. And about seven or eight of those teams have really, really good offensive lines. And I think that, I mean, let's be honest, LSU's had really good lines. Georgia has, Florida has, Alabama has, A&M's built – A&M's put a lot of guys in the league the last few years.
Yep.
And those offensive lines, if you're not prepared, they will just grind you, because everybody can run the ball. If you can't stop the run, they'll just run the ball down your throat.
Look, as an Auburn fan, I can tell you the importance of a good offensive line, because it keeps your quarterback from bailing out right and chucking it deep so all the time and hoping something good happens. You know, that makes a big difference in this league. And what I'm curious about, and particularly for Oklahoma State, because I think it's just been the last – I would say maybe the last 7 or 8 years, Alan, where the SEC has started to recruit and get these big-time quarterbacks that ended up making big-time splashes in the NFL, at least in terms of where they got drafted. Oklahoma has churned out dudes that it landed in New York and either picked up a trophy or were in the finals for it, and then they all got drafted year after year after year. The Oklahoma quarterback room is that's a pretty good-looking room of dudes going all the way back to, like, Josh Heupel, you know, in Stoops' days. They brought him in. I think that's going to increase the quarterback room tremendously in the SEC, having another guy like that in the league.
Well, and the league has gone to more of a passing league, which means you're going to draw those big-name quarterbacks, because they want to go play with the best, but they want to go throw the ball. They don't want to turn around and hand the ball off 40 times. Mm-mm. And we'll say over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, the SEC has gone more, just like all of college football, very pass-happy. Yeah. Much to Josh's chagrin.
poor Josh.
I think Arch Manning's going to end up playing in the SEC one way or another, whether it's in Texas or whether it's at, you know, wherever.
The only way that doesn't happen is if he goes to Clemson and if the SEC doesn't snag them. And I believe that phone call has been made. Now, I want to talk about how this went down, though, because the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, has not gone down quietly. He has scorched the earth the last couple of days in the media about how everybody, you know, obviously they were talking behind our backs and this is ESPN's fault and all that. And my response to that was like, well, duh, ESPN is not a journalism outfit. And if you think they are, folks, I can't help you. They are a television program outfit. And just like the TV execs that ran No Holds Barred and ran The Running Man, they got to put the best product on the field. So the fact that ESPN called up Oklahoma and Texas and said, hey, you know, the SEC's not exactly looking, but if you call them, they might say, yeah, come on. And Greg Sankey sitting up there like the Godfather is like, yeah, sure, we can make that happen for you. You know, and, I mean, this went down. We thought it went down so fast. Word is they've been talking about this since 2019. And how slick is Greg Sankey? We are talking about the man that saved college football last year in the midst of a global pandemic. We got college football because of his cool head and working through the problem and not getting, you know, lost in all the crazy that was going on and making it happen. To pull off a coup like this, it's pretty amazing, man. But on some level, though, I kind of feel bad for the Big 12 commission, because he absolutely got robbed and there's nothing he could do about it.
Well, you know, he's ran his mouth for several years, just off and on. Let's be honest, Jake. ESPN is owned by ABC Disney. They are an entertainment. They're not television. They are entertainment.
Look, Alan, I'm gonna make it big.
I don't know the last time any of y'all have been to Walt Disney World, but there's a sign with Mickey holding a gun that says "Bring money."
Yeah,
I mean, so, and here's the thing. I mean, we knew that something like this was going to happen again, because the conferences are so unbalanced. The Pac-12 is not very good. The Big 12 had two good teams, and the rest were kind of, as a basketball conference, they're pretty good. And honestly, we talked about this. There are too many teams playing football. And there are too many teams playing football who don't make enough money to play football. So at some point, I think there has to be some thinning of the herd, so to speak. You know, too many teams made the jump to FBS from FCS, I think, and they make it so quickly. And I think what you're seeing is the power players say, now we got to get rid of some of this riffraff. We need to get it down to, you know, 50, 60 teams that, you know, are good and have this product. Basically make it a minor league.
Shoot, I think they're trying to get it to 30, man. I think they're trying to make a division between FBS and then the kings of college football. And I don't disagree with you on the FCS to FBS jump. And I mean, my alma mater is a D2 school that jumped to FCS, and they're making it work, and I'm going to support them, but they were rocking in D2. But you know why? It's the same reason Hank Paulson used to say, make it too much money. I mean, the allure is too much. So I have often contended, and this might be a topic on next week's show, just to tease folks, that the G5 should just say, fine, we're going to do our own national championship. Because who's going to stop you at this point? Who cares? Like, it's, the NCAA is not going to legislate this. Because who runs the playoff, Alan? ESPN.
And here's the thing. If you had a G5 playoff, I promise you people would watch.
Heck yeah, man. People would go down for that. To be continued, as I say. But I think we have long been to this point where not only the Blue Bloods, but the like tier two teams that are still really good and are in the mix every year and stuff like that, we're going to break away at some point and kind of make their own mini NFL. If you will. That's why I think we're not done with all this change yet. So, and you know, that'll probably take years for all that to sort out. But the idea of a 16-team SEC in 2025 is pretty wild. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you think it'll take till 2025 before Texas and Oklahoma are playing SEC football?
No, I guarantee you the first conference game either one of those will play will be in 2023. The lawyers will work on it this year. Mm-hmm. Oh, you sue us, we'll sue you, this, that. They'll work it out. 2 years, they're gone.
It just so happens that if ESPN were to, you know, buy out the Longhorn Network, which they already own, but to pay Texas off to absorb that, happens to be the same amount of money they'd have to pay the Big 12 to walk away and play in 2023. I think they'd break that off for Oklahoma too. Like that's not coincidence by default. Like those things happen. I agree with you. I think I've heard some people say even by next year. I don't think by next year they can do it because it does take a lot to organize a conference schedule and all that stuff. I'm not really talking about like playing out of conference games, but it takes a lot to pull all that junk together. So I think it will take them a little while to get all of that going. But I agree. 2023, we're going to have you know, two new teams in the SEC, at least two new teams in the SEC. Now, I want to ask you this, and Chip brought this up in our chat here. As a Georgia fan, he is not okay with the idea of Auburn and Alabama just coming on over to the East. Do you think we're going to keep East and West and move some people around, put Missouri back where they belong? Or do you think we're going to split into, you know, the pods, the four divisions and four teams per division like the NFL?
I don't think they're going to go to the 14 model. I think they're going to split it. I think they are good. The simplest thing, move Alabama, Auburn to the East, move Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas to the West. Problem solved. And here's the thing. It also solves another problem. One of the quirks of SEC scheduling is we have these cross-division rivals that are a permanent game. Well, if you move Alabama and Auburn to the East, you solve like most of those problems because people wanted to protect Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. That was pretty much why that was in there. Mm-hmm. So you solve that problem. So now LSU and Florida can stop complaining about having to play each other each year. And you just play your division. You play two cross-division teams that you rotate. So that way in a four-year career, a kid could play every SEC school.
Now, I got to tell you, though, they got to move somebody else, and I haven't heard this work out yet, because if you add two teams to the West and you take away two teams, but you bring another team over, somebody else from the East has got to move around, or from the West has got to move East to even that back out.
Well, I think they may slide Kentucky over there.
Yeah, Kentucky's already in the East, though, so yeah. So
slide them to the West.
Yeah, they could. So I'm curious to see how that works out. I agree with you. I think to start with, they're going to go West and East, and I do think we're going to get 9 conference games, which is something Nick Saban's talked about, other coaches have talked about. And I'll tell you something, Alan, I think the seeds of this started a couple of years ago, because remember the big SEC schedule change that happened a couple of years ago? Auburn, Georgia moved from near the end of the season to the middle of the season because Kirby Smart and Gus Malzahn said it'd be real good not to have to make, you know, 2 hard road trips at the end of the year. So let's swap that around. And I could, yeah, I think that is going to be a, that was the beginning of, we pulled that off and nobody freaked out and lost their mind. Everybody still went to the game. Georgia still won, you know, I mean, which is what happens if you're an Auburn fan, sadly. And, you know, you saw it. So they were able to make that happen. I think they're going to come out with the 2 conferences, and I think we're going to get 9 conference games, which, can I tell you, I'm kind of for. I'm okay with eliminating an FCS game. The Big Ten's done that. The Big 12's done that. I think the Pac-12 does that now, too. I don't think it's the Power 5's job to prop up FCS teams. When to prop up G5 teams with 2 out-of-conference games, I'm cool with that. And then you play somebody else from one of the other big conferences. That's a pretty awesome 12-game schedule because – I mean, think about, like, all those years, like, especially with all the neutral site games, man, sometimes the home schedule just sucked.
You know? I mean, I could tell you the Alabama home schedule this year is awful.
Right?
Like, you have LSU at home, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's right, and I think that's another reason why this happened, Jay. The at-home experience has gotten so good, and the schedules have been so crappy that it's much easier to sit on your couch and watch the game than – fork out a couple of $100 to go to Auburn or Tuscaloosa or Athens and then pay another $50 for bottled water because it's, you know, 175 degrees.
Yeah, in Oxford especially, right? So
I mean, so I think they're making this move because they want to increase ticket sales. They want to be able to sell those ticket license that you have to pay to get your seats.
Right.
You know, Alabama just created 2 new sections in their stadium, and just for the right to purchase the seats, you have to make a $10,000 donation up front and then $3,500 a year per seat, not including the tickets.
Wow, man. That's pretty intense. $17,000 just to be able to buy tickets that are, what, between $75 and $250 face value a piece, depending on the schedule?
Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah. I understand it. I worked at Auburn University for a number of years, and when I first went to work there, faculty staff could buy tickets at half off, season tickets for 50% off. By the time I left, you got about a 10 to 15% discount. They slowly but surely worked that out. But you're right, man. You know, last year exacerbated what a lot of people have figured out. We couldn't really go places, even though the SEC stadiums had a little more openness than some of the other places. So what did everybody do? They took their season ticket money, they renovated their basement or their man cave, and they bought one of those nice 70-inch, you know, LG TVs like I got sitting over here. And they got some good speakers, and they bought an extra fridge at a, you know, a yard sale. And next thing you know, man, we just kind of have the party here, you know. And you gotta pry those people back out of that to come to the stadium a couple times a year, right? And I don't know. I just I think it'll be fun. It really do.
I mean, I think it's better for the SEC. I don't think it's better for college football, Jay. I think this is kind of the beginning of the end, not to sound all naysayer and doomsday. And I'm not saying that college football is going out of business in 10 years, but I do think you're seeing some sort of reorganization. And it's the beginning of the end of college football as I've known it my life.
There's almost nothing amateur left about this now with the NIL rules, which, look, I'm all for. That makes sense. And with the way these conferences are structured, and like you said, we're talking about a $1 billion conference, you know, now. It's joining an elite class of businesses. It's a Fortune 100 business now. We're just in a different place than college football was 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And it's going to be a much different place in 10 years, too. And I think what you're going to see, though, is there's going to be some real push to – we got to normalize these name, image, and likeness rules so that there's some uniformity to them, that there's some sort of scale to it, because you're essentially creating like a salary structure now. And that'll be the last thing. It's why none of these spring football leagues, your XFLs, AFLs, all this different stuff. They bring them back to the USFL again for reasons I don't know. This one, they never work because the best farm league for the NFL is big time college football and really college football in general. I mean, there's plenty of G5 dudes that make the league and do great, you know? And so college football on television is an increasingly popular product. And there's still parts of the country where the NFL is king. Like, man, if you go up to where our friend Nick is from in Wisconsin and stuff, like there's Badger fans, but most everybody up there is talking about the Packers and the Bears and all of that. You go to Massachusetts, go to Boston and buy a Sunday or Saturday paper, there's not any Boston College coverage. Nobody cares. It's about the Patriots and what the Bruins are doing and what the Celtics are doing and what the Red Sox should have done, you know? And you know, the fact that the power of college football is starting to center itself in the places where the biggest brands are makes sense, because most of these places are not places that have a pro team attached to them.
And that speaks to a lot of the Deep South. I mean, Mississippi doesn't have a pro team. Alabama doesn't. I mean, Louisiana does. But I guarantee you there are more LSU fans than there are Saints fans.
Well, I mean, there's for good reason. I mean, look, there's more Bulldogs fans than there are Falcons fans for good reason, too. I mean, you know, gracious. And the Florida fans, look, there are now Bucs fans because Tom Brady's there. And there's, you know, there's probably Jacksonville fans. I know Richard Johnson's one. He's the only one I know personally. And then there's Dolphins fans because there's still people that like to talk about Dan Marino and the undefeated team and, you know, these old men popping champagne. But Texas it has Cowboys, obviously, which our friend Brian, you know, really loves that team a lot, as anybody that's listening to the show knows. But Texas is a big enough place that you can have a college brand and a pro team and nobody's going to care. That is true. That state is so huge. So, yeah, I think it's not surprising to me that the power is starting to center around those things. And as we start to think about, man, what this means for the near future of college football and where things are going, I see this as the tip of the iceberg, man. I think Ohio State and Clemson and USC and maybe even a place like Oregon, there's going to be a lot of other, you know, programs and schools that realign themselves somewhere around a college football program.
Well, and at some point, they're going to kick out some of these teams. The Big Ten's got to get rid of Rutgers and Maryland. The SEC's probably going to get rid of Vandy and the Mississippi schools. There's going to be some major reorganization. I think what they need to do, and I've made this point before on this show, I think we need to go to, like, English football. Okay, there is a relegation and promotion table there, and you don't want to be relegated.
You can earn your way back in, but you can lose it too.
Yeah.
You know, though, I honestly, like, I can see that as a real thing, that, you know, every 3 years they take a look at it and go, it's time to go back down, you know, South Carolina or whatever. But I mean, really think about the bottom of the Big Ten and the bottom teams of the SEC. I mean, what do those teams do with their money? What does Vanderbilt do with all of that money, Alan? Have you seen their stadium? It's awful. There are high schools in Alabama that have better stadiums than that. Their facilities are trash. Like,
I'm pretty sure they're the primary shareholder of the Kansas City Southern Railroad.
I mean, something? Like, I got to know what you're doing with all that dough, because it is not going in the program. And the old joke about, you know, Vandy's in the SEC because it improves the GPA and stuff. Well, that's partially true, but Florida's a pretty well-renowned school. Texas has a, you know, good academic background. State and Auburn are great engineering schools, among other things. You know, there's some academic prowess. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the football team is responsible for that, but there's some decent schools in the SEC. You know, I think that joke is kind of worn out now. I can see the ones that are like, hey, look, if you're going to come be 2-10 every year, we got to do that. We should do that in the NFL too, by the way, which means no one should be subjected to the Jets for like at least a decade. So, well, I got to say, man, it's been a lot of fun talking about this. Conference realignment is not done for sure. There's a lot more of it to come. So I'll leave it to you with some parting shots, and then I'll get in mine. We'll wrap it up for the evening.
Well, you know, Jay, I'm happy to be back on the show. I'm happy that football is almost back. Mm-hmm. You know, this is bad for college football, but it'll be fun for me. I don't necessarily like it, but I do look forward to making a road trip to Norman and a road trip to Austin. And you know what? Now maybe I'll go see the Red River Rivalry finally. I've been saying I'm going to do it for like 10 years, and I haven't. So this gives me an excuse to go, right?
Right, exactly. It's now part of the league for sure. I got to say, like I say, I don't think this is the end. This is the beginning of another big sea change in college football. And I, look, as an avid fan and player of the NCAA football game, this is exactly what anybody who's played that game for more than half a minute does all the time anyway. It's just jumble up the conferences and have some fun with it and see what happens. I'm here for it. I get why people are upset about this, that are like, oh, it's just killing the tradition and the regionality of the sport. I hear you. That's a valid complaint. But this ship sailed a long time ago, and I'm just along for the ride now. I'm old enough now that I'm like, you know, I'm just ready for some ball. I want to see what happens. And, I think there's an answer for the leftover teams and the G5 teams and what they should do too. And we'll get into more of that as we get through the preseason here. Real excited to say next week we'll be joined by a very special guest, Sippy from Sippy Sports Show on YouTube. If you're a Southern Miss fan and a CUSA fan, you probably followed that dude already, or you should be. He's going to come here and talk G5 with me next week. And then the following week, still working out what that's going to look like. But then after that, man, it's conference preview time. We'll have Brian and Lindsay back in here and chopping that all together. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to the football season getting kicked off again. And before you know it, man, it'll be time to start picking games and see if I can get myself out of the cellar from last year.
Now, I'm pretty sure Lindsay's going to smoke us again.
I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion, probably like this was too, but we shall see. And that's what's going to be fun. So, folks, you can follow all of this stuff. If you go to thegridironbreakdown.com, that will take you to our link tree. You can find the link to the Facebook page. Fastest way to make sure you know when the show's happening, like the page, follow our page. You'll get notifications when it comes up. Or if you're watching this on our YouTube page, subscribe, hit the notification bell. We'll always load up the episodes afterward. Or if you want to listen to the audio version of this, you can download the podcast where you find podcasts on Apple and Spotify, all those cool places. Just look for the Gridiron Breakdown Show and it'll be there. So we're glad to be back here for the 2021 preseason, and we'll be back again with some more preview thoughts going forward. So stick with us and looking forward to it. For Alan, I'm Jay. Thanks for watching and listening to the Gridiron Breakdown.
Thank you for watching and listening to the Gridiron Breakdown Offseason Edition.
Let's just go back to the way we used to be.
Follow the show on Facebook and YouTube, and subscribe to the audio podcast by visiting thegridironbreakdown.com to receive notifications of upcoming episodes.
To you, it's just a business, but to us, it's still got to be a sport.
You can also email the show at thegridironbreakdown@gmail.com.
Every player has a responsibility on every play, and that responsibility begins with the proper use of his given talents.